Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here February 1st. And I hope you've had a wonderful week. A couple announcements as we begin today. The first one is our annual meeting is today, and my guess is if you're watching this, you're not able to come, but we have an annual meeting book that we've put together for anybody who would like it. We have a physical copy here in the foyer of the church, and then we have an electronic version we can give you if you didn't get one already on your church email. But it has all the reports from the different ministry areas, including from the pastors. It has the new budget in it, the new members, and all of that. And we would love to get that to you. An income expense report even from the previous year, just so you know all of our numbers. We keep it all open there for everybody to know how we're spending the money of the offering and everything. So if you would like any one of those, please let us know if you haven't received it already. But we have those. But God has done great things, amazing things over this past year. We can't even believe it. All the new families we've seen, the ministries we've been able to do, the Cove expansion there, and what's happening there. So many great things. We've said goodbye to some beautiful people who've gone to be with the Lord, and then we've welcomed in so many new babies and baptisms, and it's just life together as a church, and I'm just so thankful to be pastor here, and so thank you to all of you who've been a part of the church here this past year, and God is good. Other things wanted to mention is that we have our ice skating trip to Breslau Ice Rink. It's free to anybody who would like to go, but you got to RSVP to us. And it is on Sunday, February 15th from 2 to 4:30. And that's in Lincoln at the Breslau Ice Rink. But just let us know if you want to go to that. And so just text or call, or there's a little QR code within your church email if you want to check that as well. And then we have a youth, the middle school and high schoolers. Pastor Tobias and the crew are taking them skiing on the final, I think it is Saturday of the, or Friday, I'm not sure what it is, February 28th. They're going skiing at the Iowa ski place there. It's an 8 p.m. to midnight. It's called Midnight Ski or something like that. And it is a wonderful, a fun event they do every year and enjoy it. And so if your kids are interested in that, have them talk to Pastor Tobias and to register for that. That's also on our church email to register for the ski trip for the youth. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me over to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to look at the fourth commandment today. We're on a series here going through the Ten Commandments. We're looking at the fourth commandment today and the beauty of it, the wonder of it, why we need it so much. And so we're going to read here Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. And then I'm also going to read Exodus 16, 11 through 30 to kind of expand the view of what this command is all about. So here it is from Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. This is the command. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath unto the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy." And then I want to read an example of how this is played out in Exodus 16, verses 11 through 30. It says this, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' Well, that evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is this?' Well, Moses said, 'This is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person that you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told, and some gathered much, some gathered little, but when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone gathered just as much as they needed. And then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until morning, but then it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported it to Moses. And he said, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." And so they did save it until morning, as Moses had commanded. And it didn't stink, and maggots didn't come. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is the Sabbath of the Lord. You won't find any of it on the ground today. For 6 days you're to gather, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there won't be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day, no one to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. I love that scripture so much. God gave them enough on the sixth day so that they could just rest on the seventh day. If only we could see that if we obey God, he will supply everything we need, and rest included. Before I get into all that, though, just a reminder of the commandments that we have learned so far. The first commandment, remember, was to have no other gods but him. God has to be number one in our life. The second commandment was to not make an idol of anything or a false image of the true God. The third commandment was to not misuse the name of the Lord. That means to not use it as a common swear word or to throw around his name, misrepresenting who he really is, but to speak his name with praise and love and honor, to honor his name. Well, today I'm going to talk now about the fourth command, and it's to remember the Sabbath. It is to keep it holy. And I'm going to talk about what that means and why I think the Sabbath is so beautiful and important to our lives as Christians who want to live our life God's way. And so to start, I have to say that Jesus was often accused of breaking the Sabbath. The Pharisees were always on him because he would heal on the Sabbath, or his disciples picked heads of grain to eat because they were hungry, and they would accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. But Jesus never broke the commandment. Jesus never did. He never sinned. He did, however, break some of their rules about the Sabbath, but never God's. And that is something we have to get beyond here to see. People can make the commandments into what God never intended them to be. And people can judge other people, but we shouldn't worry about that. For God is the only one we need to obey and concern ourselves with. And to think about, are we honoring the Sabbath as God gave it? And why did he instruct us to take a Sabbath every week? You know, I think this commandment of all of the 10 is one that many Christians just kind of forget about and ignore, or think maybe that it only means, did I go to church today? You know, but the Sabbath is really something much deeper than that and was given by God to us for a reason. And I have really come to see the beauty of this command. I've learned the Sabbath is not just a demand to be fulfilled, but it is really a delight to be enjoyed. It is a gift. That is why the scripture that we read just said, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. It is a gift. God knows what we need. The commands of God, the law of God, you see, is really for our good. He loves us. He knows us too well. He knows that we will fill up our lives with no margin, and we will end up missing all the good stuff if he doesn't command us to stop and be still and know that he is God. He knows we will put upon our shoulders and carry burdens that we were never meant to. We will focus our life on all the wrong things. We will miss the joys of relationship and creation. We will miss the peace of knowing that he is over everything, that he's got us, and that he's really our provider. We will worry ourselves to death. We will work ourselves to death. He knows that about us. He knows us too well. And so what does he do? He commands us to stop for our own good. The Sabbath is a command of God to be still. And it is really a gift of God, one that I think we all desperately need. The first time I really experienced the Sabbath was in Israel. The Sabbath comes alive in Israel every week on Friday. As the evening approaches, people start getting ready for Sabbath, and they call it Shabbat. And it begins actually on Friday night. And so about 4 p.m., everything shuts down for Shabbat. Everything. I mean, even the elevators in the hotel are turned off. Okay, the Sabbath begins then with a meal, with dinner. The food has been prepared beforehand, the wine has been poured, the table has been set, the candles lit, and as the sun goes down, the people then all retreat and go into their homes, and they gather around their tables, everyone, everywhere around Israel. And this meal that they eat to kick off Sabbath is not like other days. Each family pulls out that once a week, the fancy tablecloth, and they put out the fancy china and their nicest dishes. And it's kind of like when I would go to Darlene Marloff's place for dinner or even just for coffee. She would make it so special, as if I were a king showing up. Unordinary. She had the table set before I even got there. She'd pull out of her cabinet all these little glass dishes and put food on them that I had never kind of tasted those kind of foods before. And she'd make some fancy punch and some coffee and a dessert that she had just whipped up that morning that made the whole house smell so good. She just made you special, made you feel special. Well, this was the way they kicked off Sabbath. Every week with a meal, and it was a special one, not an ordinary one. People went home from a long week, and they dressed up in their best, and the family gathered around the table, and they began it holding hands and praying, giving thanks to God who saved them and provided another week for them, everything that they needed, and blessed them and cared for them. And they would read a scripture around that table as they ate, and then they would eat until they had their full, and they would laugh, and they would enjoy the fruits and the good things of God. And then they would go to bed, and they would sleep. The body needed rest. And in the morning, they would rise, and they would go off to worship in the synagogue. They would read their scriptures, and they would pray. And then the rest of the day, they would spend it with family or friends, just enjoying life. Enjoying their life. This is Sabbath. You see, it's so much more than just a holiday. It was a holy day every week, a day set apart, a gift from God. The first time we read about Sabbath is in our scripture here in Exodus 16, when God told Moses that he was going to provide food for those Israelites while they're out there in the desert. They would have quail every evening, and they would have manna, bread, every morning, and it would be their daily provision. And if they tried to take more than what they needed for the day and keep it till tomorrow, it would only spoil and go bad. Well, why would God do it this way? Well, because God was teaching them. You see, he wanted them to live in him. Even when they would go to the promised land, they were learning, you see, how to trust and obey God for the day. To live in his obedience, to trust their life his way and to do it his way, knowing that he'll do what he has promised, provide for them every day. give them daily bread, just like he said he would. But they were going to have to trust him to not worry. He was going to take care of tomorrow. We're still learning that, aren't we, today? We're still learning how to trust the Lord for tomorrow, to keep our mind on today and know God has got us. But what we see in the story in Exodus 16 is that the only time God allowed the Israelites to gather more manna than just one day's worth was on the sixth day. On the sixth day, he gave them a double portion on the sixth day so that they didn't have to work and go gather it on the seventh day. The food God gave on the sixth day was double. And that food didn't go bad overnight, but fed them all through the Sabbath. So God gave them, in other words, a seven-day supply in 6 days so that they could rest on the seventh, not have to gather, but enjoy life and live in his grace all day long. But of course, Israel had to test this. So they went out on the seventh day to get manna, but found there wasn't any, which I think proves that the manna was not just some natural phenomenon, but it really was God providing bread for his people every day. They did not go hungry. God gave them enough, even for the Sabbath. Another Bible story I think relates to this a little bit is the calling of Peter that we find in the New Testament. If you remember the story, it's in Luke chapter 5, but Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee one morning and he's preaching to the crowd when he notices Peter tending to his fishing nets over there. And Jesus gets into Peter's boat, first time he meets him, and he says to Peter, "Head out into the waters and let down your nets for a catch." Peter tells Jesus, "Master, we've been working hard all night long and we haven't caught one fish. But because you say so, I will." And this is a striking thing, you know, for me as I think about this story. Because how could a professional fisherman not catch even one fish all night long? When this is your business, the thing that you've been taught since you were a kid, your way of making a living and providing for your family, and you're trying so hard, you're working all night long, and you can't make it. But I think this is like the story of Sabbath and the manna, you see. We got to remember, God is the one who gives us everything we have. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things, and we got more than enough. Maybe God held back the fish all night long so that in the morning when Jesus came and told him to go out, he could be seen to provide so that Peter would know that it's not just him, but it's God who gives us everything that we have. Jesus is there about ready to teach Peter something. For when Peter obeys Jesus and lets down his nets again there in Luke 5, this time under the Lord's command, they fill with fish instantly and so much more than anything Peter could have done or even had done ever in his work life. The nets filled so much, they begin to rip, and a second boat has to come, and the fish fill that second boat too. Peter gets a double portion. And Peter, seeing this miracle, knows Jesus is God. And he bows down before him and says, "Lord, I am not worthy." And I wonder today, has the Lord ever done something like that for you, given to you so clearly that you knew it was God and you didn't just do that? You know, he provided for you something that you weren't able to do, and it was so obvious that God did it and you could see it. You see, he is our provider every time. Who gave the Israelites daily bread? What happened when they tried to store it away themselves or gather it on the day the Lord told them not to? It only disappeared. But at the Lord's command, they had enough for the day and even 2 days worth for the Sabbath. Just like Peter, two boatfuls. It seems to me one of the primary reasons, you see, for Sabbath is to teach us how to be still and know that he is God. We aren't. He's the provider, not us. He makes it happen. Everything we got is really from Him. So will we trust God to be God and to provide for us today and tomorrow? When you take a Sabbath, you are saying, Lord, I rest in you and in your provision. I'm not going to gather what you aren't given. All I got is a gift, and I'm content and thankful for the life that you have given me. I'm going to rest today knowing that you are over my family and that we belong to you and you're looking after us and you're a good, good father. I trust your provision, and I'm going to enjoy the gifts that you've given me. That's Sabbath. Something I noticed this week was that the words of Exodus 20, the fourth commandment, are a little different than the words of Deuteronomy 5, where those Ten Commandments are repeated. Both scriptures list the Ten Commandments, except in Deuteronomy 5, the Sabbath changes the words just a little bit. In Deuteronomy 20, it says, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. 6 days you'll labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath unto the Lord, etc., etc. And then it says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. On the seventh day he rested. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. In Exodus 20, it appears the reason for the Sabbath, you see, is that God created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh, so we should do like he did. But if you look at Deuteronomy 5, when they're listed, it's the exact same beginning. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. 6 days you'll labor, do all your work. Seventh day, Sabbath of the Lord, etc., etc. But then instead of speaking about creation, it says, for remember you were once slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath. So in Deuteronomy, the Sabbath is connected, you could say, to salvation, how they aren't slaves anymore. They are his children. So because of what the Lord has done, honor the Sabbath. You aren't slaves anymore. You don't have to work every day anymore. You're his children, and he looks after you and what you need. He doesn't work you to death like your slave masters did. He's going to give you good things. And so he even orders you to take a break and to rest. You see, as we read through the Old Testament, something that comes up a lot is when the Israelites begin to forget the Sabbath and not take it, that's usually when the downfall begins to happen for them. The slow fade away from God and into deeper sins. When they stop taking time to be with God every week and to trust in him and to worship him and to rest in him, that's the moment they started to forget who they are and became more open to idols and began to slip back into a different kind of slavery. The Sabbath was the reminder every week of his covenant promise with them and how they were a people set apart for him. They needed that each week to stay connected. In fact, there was a saying in Bible times that more than Israel kept the Sabbath kept Israel. It was that regular part of their week that reminded them who they were and that God was their God and that they belonged to him and different from the world, and whatever they faced, he was going to help them, and he who made everything and rescued them in such a mighty way would continue to rescue them and lead them and provide for them if they would just obey him and continue to love him. You see, the Sabbath was a very important part of their relationship. It kept them connected and kept them strong in that relationship. When Carrie and I first got married, we began something in those first years of marriage that we tried hard to maintain, and that was a day a week together. We've always had our Mondays. In the busyness of life and ministry and with little kids, we saw each other, of course, every day. We lived together in the same house, but we still needed our Mondays. Mondays were special. To just connect and to be together and to keep us strong. You know, when the kids were little, we would pack them in the car seats and head up to Edmonton for the day. And even if it was just running errands or having lunch or walking through West Edmonton Mall, Mondays were important for us to maintain our relationship. Today, Carrie works Monday to Friday, but we're still very religious about taking our lunches together every Monday. And we now take Saturdays together It's not a legalistic rules thing. It's just something that we set apart for the sake of us. It won't just happen to stay connected and one in marriage. You know, we've got to set apart that for the sake of our marriage. Well, I ask you this question. What do you do to keep the Lord the center of your life and heart? That relationship is the greatest of all relationships in your life. How are you intentional about staying close to Him? When do you talk and listen with God? How can you better grow in your relationship with God to remember that you first belong to God and that He is over everything, including the stuff that you were worried about tomorrow? He is the Lord of tomorrow. He's going to provide for you. Don't worry. But how can you know that peace every week? You're going to have to trust Him. The Sabbath helps build that trust and that relationship, a life centered around God. This is the main point of the Sabbath. The Jewish leaders had missed the point. They had made Sabbath into just this list of rules of what not to do on Sabbath. So Jesus had to remind them. He said, man wasn't created for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for man. It's a gift from God to you. Take it so that you won't fall into idolatry, so that you won't think that you're your own provider, so that you won't work yourself to death in your marriage and miss all of the good stuff around you. Take the Sabbath. Trust Him. Worship Him. Be still and know He is God. Rest your life in Him. Now, we can't know for sure, but it seems in the New Testament that Christians kind of moved Sabbath to Sunday at some point and began to call it the Lord's Day. It's interesting, when you go to Israel now, the Muslims have Friday, the Jews have Saturday, and the Christians Sunday. The reason that I think the early church moved its worship and holy day to Sunday was because Jesus rose from the dead on that day. So this kind of became their day, set apart, distinct from the others, to celebrate the Lord. And the new Sabbath, if you will, the new day to celebrate the exodus of what God had done in their life, the salvation that He had done in their life through Jesus, who died and rose again, giving us all eternal life. At some point, Sundays became the new dawn, the new day. And it's possible many of those early believers who were Jewish kept both days. I don't know. I don't think the day of the week, though, is the important thing. I think it is having a day. I think it is stopping and remembering who God is and why we were created and how He saved us, and not following the world's schedule, but following His. Some Christians see the Sabbath as having been fulfilled in Christ, that a day a week that God set apart before only pointed to a future rest that we now have in Jesus Christ as our Lord, who has forever made peace with God for us, and we can now enter His rest by faith. Our soul is now at rest in Christ. And this is true, but I think a day a week is still good and important for us to maintain that relationship and to live into this truth and reality. If I just look at Jesus took a Sabbath. And if I can just remember, the Sabbath is a gift, not just a demand to be fulfilled, but a delight to be enjoyed, and something we all need to keep our relationship with God strong and our life in balance. Psalm 23 says, the Lord makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He's the restorer of our soul. I know my life. I know my tendencies and weaknesses. I can make a mess of things, especially when I'm tired. I can miss the point. I can run myself to the grave. I cannot stop or ever feel finished or content with what is. I can neglect my soul. I can miss the good things and the joy of living and the love of the Lord and my family and friends and the beauty of creation that's around me every day. I can miss it. I need to stop and be still and remember God, to take a look around and to see all that I have to be thankful for, and to rest and to know that He's the Savior. I am not. He is God. I am not. And He's got me and my family, and I belong to Him. You see, I need Sabbath in my life. One way that I've tried to recently keep the Sabbath in a meaningful way is to apply the greatest commandment to that day of rest. Okay, so the greatest commandment, remember, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. Those four things, okay? And so I take those four things, heart, soul, strength, and mind, and I try to organize my day around them a bit. So to keep Christ the center of this day, this holy day, and not just make it like any other day, I want my Sabbath to be different, to be special. So for me, to love the Lord with all my heart on the Sabbath means I want some heart time with God on that day. I want to set that in there. You know, I want to be intentional about connecting with God on that day at some point to worship Him. Sabbath isn't just a day off. It's a holy day. So I want to take some time with God on that day to personally worship or spend time in my Bible reading just for me, not for sermons, but just talking with God and listening for Him. You know, I think of it like Mary and Martha, that story in the Bible. I'm more of a Martha. I'm running around a lot, always preparing things for church and doing a lot of stuff for God or ministry. Well, when do I just sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did, right? I need to fill my cup too and be connected to the heart of the Lord. Not just busy for Him, but just sitting before Him, you know? So if your Sabbath is Sunday, well, going to church is a good way to do that, to just be with God and to work on your relationship with the Lord, to listen for Him. But if you can't be here, if your Sabbath is a different day, how are you still doing that intentionally each week? We all need that heart time with God. But then the next part of the greatest commandment is to love Him with all our soul. And so I think about that on my day too. You know, the soul is about what we enjoy and the people we enjoy, what makes us happy, and may even just be fun and relaxing for us. And I believe Sabbath, you see, is also God giving His people time to enjoy the fruits of their labor, to know that life is more than just work. They aren't slaves anymore. They can enjoy the day. So for me, on my day off, I think, what brings me joy, right? And I try to intentionally do something that I just enjoy. My soul needs this every week. I like going for a walk around Holmes Lake, or I like looking through antique malls. I like watching a good movie. I like playing golf with a friend. I like having lunch with Carrie, grabbing a coffee, or showing up at Aldi and hugging my daughter. It brings a smile to my face, playing in the train room. I mean, you see, we have sometimes, I think, missed this, that God isn't our slave driver. He's our Father. He knows what we need, and He rejoices when we rejoice. This is also a part of the Sabbath, to enjoy life and the people that He has given to us, to be out in nature and just take it all in, to do something that we love, and to be with the people that we love, to break up the mundane. This is part of Sabbath. The next part of the greatest commandment is to love Him with all of our strength. And so I think about that on my day off with Him. And this means our physical bodies. Our bodies wear out. They get tired. And sometimes we don't allow them to rest. We just keep going to our own peril. You know, sometimes what God wants us to do more than anything is to sleep. A good nap is just divine sometimes, or sitting on the porch and just resting and feeling the breeze and doing nothing. I love watching those old TV shows on MeTV. Andy Griffith is still one of my favorites. And there are many episodes where on a Sunday afternoon, Andy and Barney and Aunt Bee, they're all sitting on the front porch doing absolutely nothing. Just letting time slowly tick by. Maybe Andy has his guitar. Barney thinks about going to the store to get a pop. And watch, you know, and there's Aunt Bee, she's just sewing, and no one is doing anything fast. And Opie's digging in the dirt, and it's just rest. Rest for our bodies. It's not a day to fill up with all the stuff you couldn't do during the week, or to do all the other stuff to make yourself feel like you're still being useful. Boy, that's our God today. We are not machines, though. Life is more than just producing things. Work is a wonderful thing, and we gotta work, but it's not all we're about. Each night, we leave our work behind, and we go home, and we sleep. And once a week on Sabbath, we don't have to work. We can let our bodies rest. Let our bodies take a break. So I don't feel bad taking a nap after lunch with Carrie. It's Sabbath. It's a gift. I think about it like that. It's a gift to sit on the back porch and just feel the breeze. If we don't do this, we're going to burn ourselves out and not feel any joy ever and depress ourselves. And then we're not good for anyone. I think about the story of Peter working hard all night, not catching anything. We can work and work and work our lives in our own strength and not accomplish much of anything. We need to operate in his strength. Rest is a good thing. But the final part of the greatest commandment that I think about on my day off is love the Lord your God with all your mind. And so I got to think about that for me too. How can I have a Sabbath with my mind? And this is a big one for me, may even be the biggest. Because for me, during my day off, this is when I feel the devil's temptation up here. I can get all restless in my mind and still be worn down, even if I'm not doing work. I have to be intentional about taking a Sabbath up here and not worry. Taking a Sabbath by turning off my phone and letting the emails and maybe even the texts go for a day. Taking a Sabbath from social media and turning off the news, unplugging. My mind, you see, can be like a computer. And just like with a computer at times, you got to switch it off and let it restart because it can get stuck. My mind needs a reboot, a weekly renewal, to remember that I live by faith and not fear. To remember that I am called to love and that he loves me. And so this world over the week, you know, can get in and it can get me down. So I need to rethink, reboot, readjust back to him in my mind. I got to rest my mind and be intentional about my thoughts, being back on just God. This is how I've tried to keep a Sabbath in my life. Whatever you can do, I encourage you, do it. Keep the fourth commandment. Remember that it is not just a demand to be fulfilled, but it is a delight to be enjoyed. It is a gift from God to us who need this gift, to remember who God is and that we are not slaves anymore, but children of a heavenly Father who loves us and makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside the still waters, for he restores our soul. Have a wonderful Sabbath. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.